Hallelujah, Lord. You've got a couple more days of 2024. You know, and some of us said 2024 was a great year, and there's others who said 2024, I didn't do so well. You know, the scripture says in Psalms 24, may the Lord thy God give you the desires of your heart. And then it says, so you may succeed. Right away, you look at that scripture, it says, God's on my side. I'm going into 2025, and he's going to give me the desires of my heart. I'm going to succeed. Nothing can stop me. He's the way maker. I'm all in. Then we realize, well, maybe we don't, that the scripture says, may the Lord thy God give the desires of your heart, and the heart means who you really are. And then the version really says, so you may fulfill your purpose. Your purpose that God gave you to fulfill in 2025. Not what you want to do necessarily first, but what God wants to do through you in 2025. Your purpose. And on January 12th, I'm going to preach on vision for the purpose of this church in 2025. Because we're going to make an impact like no other. I'm so thrilled that so many people showed up at Cross Point Church today and so many people signed online in the lowest attending service of churches in the nation. Cross Point Church showed up. Hallelujah. I can't go out of 2024, the last service here at Cross Point Church in 2024, without having a time where we should be at the altar of the church. So I'm going to ask each and every one of you to speak God's purpose in your life in 2025, and they're going to sing Waymaker all over again, and you're going to say, I'm going to go down to the altar of the local church in 2024, so I enter 2025 changed and different. I don't want to go into 2025 the same as I left 2024, because God's got something new and fresh for me in 2025. I don't want what I had in 2024. I want something new in 2025. I want my desires of my heart, who God called me to be, fulfilled, but my purpose established in 2025. And the only way that's going to happen, church, is if you come down to an altar and say, God, you are the way maker. You are the change maker, and I'm going to go into 2025 change. Church, join me in the altar at the local church, and let's do the right thing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I worship you, Lord. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you.
Word.
arms, give him praise today. I don't want us going into 2025 pulling some baggage with us. Every time we look at the baggage that's in the rearview mirror, God says, no, I want you to look forward. I got something better for you. Plans to make you prosper. The desires of your heart that I have given you. And the song says, even when you don't see that I'm working, I'm a working. We're always asking God to show the signs so we can see that he's still with us. And God says, no, I want not to show you the signs so I can test your faith and build your faith and see if you believe I'm working. I don't know, church. Do we believe God's working today? Give him praise. He's working. Give him praise. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the throne of the living God here in a second. I want each and every one of you to think about what God's going to do for you in 2025. And if you're not there yet, if you just don't know, I'm going to ask you just to pray that God reveals to you what he needs you to do. Because I'm going to tell you, as your pastor, 2025 is going to be the biggest impactful year in this church ever. 2025. It's a year of impact. And we're going to pray it to be so. The year of impact is going to be not only in our church, but in each and every one of your lives. So let's go to the heaven as they're doing in heaven right now. Around the throne, give him praise. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I pray right now for Cross Point Church. I pray for each and every one of the fine people that showed up today. Lord, I pray for those that are watching online. I pray for the orphanage in Uganda, Africa, Lord God, and the many other people and facilities watching today. And Lord God, I thank you, Lord. I pray right now a year of impact in the lives of the people, Lord, that you reveal purpose to them for 2025. And more importantly, Lord God, I pray that they move and walk in that purpose. That they push the things that they want in life aside for a second and walk into the things that you need them to do, the purpose that you've instilled in their lives. Lord, let them realize in the next couple of days as we move into 2025 that you have a mandate from heaven, that you need us to do something for the kingdom. And Lord God, let us be faithful warriors to move into 2025 doing exactly what you want us to do. Lord God, as we enter the week of prayer next week, let us pray into 2025 as we should be doing. Let everybody pray. Lord God, lay on our hearts prayer. Lay prayer on our hearts. Let it be heavy, Lord God, heavier than it's ever been. Lord God, let us look back at the end of 2025 and say that was a year of impact. Bless us today, Lord. Bless Pastor Keith and Deb as they minister to Cross Point. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, give a praise offering to heaven today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're going back to your seats, you look at a couple of people and say, my 2025 is going to look a lot better than my 2024. I don't know, maybe, I feel like we had some church already, folks. I feel like we've been in church. I don't know, maybe it's just me. I love to be in God's house, especially as we wind down a year. What a place to be, right? Some people were asking me, are we going to have church on the last Sunday of the year? Well, yeah, we're going to have church on the last Sunday of the year. Where would you all go if we weren't having church on the last Sunday of the year, right? Now, I didn't say I was going to preach on the last Sunday of the year, right? Welcome to Cross Point Church today, folks, and all those people. Man, there's so many people online today. Thank you so much for joining us online. And again, welcome to the Orphanage in Uganda, Africa, for joining us today and allowing us to be your church here in Canton, Ohio. I hope you all had a good Christmas. Yep. No matter what, whether you got what you wanted to get or you didn't, I just pray that you were just rested, right? I hope that God blessed you this holiday a few days ago. My days and my weeks are all messed up, right? A couple more days, we'll be saying 2025, right? Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be in God's house on this day. But I get a day off, and my very good friend has agreed to come and minister to Cross Point Church today. I'll let Pastor Keith talk a little bit about his ministry and Deb's ministry here, but they were pastors over at Grace Fellowship. Some of you are from Grace Fellowship here in the past, so you know exactly who they are. Good friends of ours. We love on them. We want to give the retired pastor an opportunity to preach, right? Church, on behalf of Cross Point Church, make Pastor Keith welcome today. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning, everyone. Here we are once again in the house of God. And guys, did 2024 turn out just like you expected? It never does. But here we are, as we said. Many of you that know me well, if I say 24, 23, 22, 21, you know I mean 24. Okay? It's just part of the way it is. But I just want to thank you once again. It's such an honor to be here, my Debbie and I. And my Debbie, if you would, Debbie, stand. This is my sweetheart of 53 years. 53 years, and I'd love to say this, and she still likes me. Now, that's not bad for 53 years of marriage, right? Well, folks, I've got a message for you here today that is for you. I want you to turn to somebody right now and say, hey, this message is going to be for you. Tell them that. Would you do that right now? So every one of you, this message is for me too. In fact, I've already beat myself up putting this message together. Okay, I've already struggled through this. And I haven't warned Debbie yet, but I just want Debbie to know that, sweetheart, I'm going to be working on what I'm preaching here today. I'm still a work in process, okay? And what I want to share with you about, let me ask you this question right off the top. How many of you talk too much? There's some of you, we admit that, right? Some of us just can't help ourselves. We talk too much. But let me tell you what I've learned and the Bible teaches us. And you that have your Bibles, open to the book of James with me, chapter 3. And while you're looking at that, let me tell you something. How did God create the world? He spoke it into existence, right? God used words to create the world. And I've learned something about words. Our words reveal what's in our hearts. And when the Bible refers to our heart, the spiritual part of us, talks about our desires and emotions and character, who we are at our core. Folks, every one of you in this room is different. Every one of you has your own personality, your own thoughts, your own ways, your own experiences. But the thing that we all have in common is that we speak words and we talk about these things. But here's the problem I think we all face. Now, don't get mad at me. I'm talking to me too. But many of us talk too much. And some of our words are not chosen wisely. How many of you have ever said things you regretted after you said them? Every one of us, we've all done these things. That's because we haven't thought, obviously, before we spoke. You know, the average American speaks over 700 words a day. Other research says we spend about 1/5 of our life talking. In fact, if we wrote down all the words just from one day, it said that it would make a 50-page book. What in the world could you and I say that would be impactful in a 50-word book? Well, that's what we want to talk about just for a few moments here today. Most of us, folks, listen, we're God's people. And I don't want to say it this way, but you are a wonderful people. You're good people. But you're human, just like anybody, just like all of us. And you know what? Sometimes, can I just say it? Sometimes we're just not so wonderful. Sometimes we get an attitude, don't we? And when we get that attitude and when we get angry, what begins to come forth out of our mouth? That's what I want to talk about. As long as things are going well, we're just really great people. But then let me say this. Let's add a little frustration to your life. Your kids get on your nerves. Co-workers are acting like fools. Traffic is backed up. You're already late. Suddenly words start bubbling up from somewhere. Where do those words come from? Well, we know where they come from, but what is it? The anger made something come up, but you know what? It can't come up if it's not in there. So it all came from somewhere. As we get angry, you stub your toe, you hit your thumb. Suddenly there's a fountain of words some would not even want their grandmother to hear these words. But I want you to think with me here a moment today. All these words came from somewhere. If it's in the well, here's an old Kentucky saying we used to say back home. If it's in the well, it's going to come up in the bucket. And it's so true. Whatever you drop in the well is going to come up in the bucket. So our words are a manifestation of what is in our hearts. So, and even more importantly, it's saying our words that exposes what's in our hearts. The words we speak come directly from our heart. Our words will direct our lives. Our words can ruin relationships. Words can damage people. How many of us here, and don't raise your hands, but you can still hear someone's destructive words in your mind. Somebody said something that really hurt. Not just hurt, it cut. And it disturbed you. And there may be even some in here that's not even talking to the person that may have said those things. Whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me, was either on drugs or drunk. Because there's no truth in those words. Because sticks and stones, your bones can heal, but there's times when words have been spoken and the healing will not take place until something is done. So once again, words can either tear down relationships or can encourage people. And once again, our words are a big deal, folks. I just want to tell you that. And I'm going to share with you some scripture about how big of a deal the words are, because we're going to be judged by the words that we speak. And how different would our lives be if we could control our tongue? The tongue. When I say the tongue, I mean our speech, the things that we say. And when the tongue is used in a text and in other passages in the Bible, folks, it's not talking about the physical organ in our mouth. It's talking about our speech. It's talking about our words. Sometimes the Bible uses the lips to refer to our words, but it's still talking about the words that we speak. And folks, our deeds, the things that we do, are evidence of our faith. So our words are also evidence of what's in our hearts. So what is in your heart? If words come out, there's still people that will, even some people that have been Christians for many years, will come out with some words that a Christian should never say. What is that? Something wasn't totally emptied. Somehow we got to go back. Somehow we got to realize how important it is that we work on the words that we choose. And once again, just as our deeds are evidence of our faith, our words are also evident of what's in our hearts. And words can be connected to what kind of a witness we are. Peter, when Jesus had betrayed him, was on trial, what did Peter do? He followed, was outside warming by the fire, and he's accused of being a follower of Christ 3 times. The third time, what did he do? He cursed while denying Christ. He tried to use his words to prove that he wasn't a follower of Christ. Folks, if we're honest with ourselves, all of us, at some point have not been proud of what's come out of our mouth. Cursing, words meant to bring pain on someone, gossip, complaining. Folks, today we're going to take a look at what God says about our words and what we can do to control it. And as we're going to see in the book of James here, God cares a lot about how we speak. In James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says this: not many of you should become teachers. Wait a minute, stop right there. Wait a minute. Here's the brother of Jesus saying, wait a minute, not many of you should become teachers. God, what are you talking about? Shouldn't we all be teachers? Shouldn't we all strive for this? But look what he said. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. Folks, I want to tell you something. As a minister, as a teacher, even as an individual, sometimes we're held to higher standards of judgment as a teacher of God's word. And that's a little scary because that carries a lot of responsibility. But look at verse number 2 again. We all stumble. The context is in reference to our words. In the King James translation, it reads, we offend all. We all stumble in many ways. And the easiest place to stumble is right here in the use of our words. Look at verses 3 and 4. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot was to go. You know, one day my youngest son, Josh, we were visiting some folks and they had a donkey. And Josh wanted to ride that donkey. So he hops up on that donkey and that donkey just gradually is kind of trotted out a little bit. But when Joshua turned that donkey around and that donkey started heading back to the barn, do we have any farmers in here? Anybody knows what happens when that horse sees that barn and he knows he's going back to the house? All of a sudden, that donkey took off. And here's Josh. I wish I could have had that on camera. Here he is bouncing at that donkey, screaming, trying to get that donkey to stop and just to pull back on him. And Josh was saying a few words. Now, he didn't really cuss or anything, but he was saying a few words. And I'm kind of glad his mama didn't hear what he was saying at the time. And you know what? That donkey run right, that barn door had a half door and only the bottom was open. And that donkey was heading for that door and finally, Josh just, it didn't look like he even jumped. It looked like he just rolled off a donkey and rolled and all that stuff that's on the ground around barns. So the words that he spoke didn't help his situation at all. Of course, it might have made him, I don't know what it did. But once again, that donkey was not going to be turned one way or the other. Because it was so powerful, it didn't matter. But the Bible just refers to here as God, as James giving an illustration. There was that horse. Actually, the horse in that day was one of the most powerful machines of James's day. It controlled by a bit in its mouth. And the ship was actually the largest moving vehicle of the day. It's controlled by a rudder, which in those times was actually shaped like a tongue. The tongue is also powerful as its boasting illustrates. Look at verses 5 and 6 in James chapter 3. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Folks, is the tongue that serious? Is the tongue that devastating? Can the tongue keep us out of heaven? Our words are powerful. The words that we speak. And I want you to think for the coming year. I really want to encourage you to understand the importance of our words. Don't even have to be intentionally murderous to do harm. All it takes is some carelessness with our words. In fact, a few years ago, there was a wildfire raging through Southern California. Burned 22,000 acres, eating up homes and businesses. And how did it start? A smoke bomb. A little tiny smoke bomb was used in a party, a group of people just having a good time. And the flames were finally extinguished on November 16th. One spark can do incredible danger, incredible damage. Have you ever said things, like I said, that you wished you could have taken back? Have you ever used this phrase? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. You ever done that? You'd say then, you'd follow it up with this. I didn't mean it. But can I just tell you straight up front and be honest with me? We meant it. We didn't really intentionally maybe want to hurt that person. And now after we said it and it hurt them, now we're sorry we said it. But we meant it because those words were in us. that anger, that distrust, that, I don't know, dislike, whatever it may be. It was in here. And whatever is in here is going to come out. So I'm encouraging you and asking you, and once again, to look to the Word to see what we must do and how important it is that we put the right stuff in here so the right stuff comes out. Look at verses 7 and 8. All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. No human being can tame the tongue. We have Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. He desires to help us change. Look at verses 9 and 10. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Folks, in James' day, the king or emperor would set up his statue in the cities of his realm. If anyone insulted or cursed the statue, they were treated as if they had cursed the emperor to his face. For the statue was the image of the emperor. Therefore, the insulting of people, the insulting of a person made in God's image is like insulting God. Are you not God's creation? Is everyone not God's creation? Does God not love also not? You think God just loves us because we serve him and he doesn't love anybody else? No, we know better than that. He loves the sinner. He loves those that don't know him. He loves those that need him and have not called on him. He loves them. So you and I, at the same time, as born-again believers, are to speak truth to these folks. You know what your responsibility is in your walk with God? It's your responsibility to help people find God. They haven't found him yet. You're the one that needs to help them to find God. And how do you do that? Well, certainly one of the most important ways is the words that you choose when you speak with them and you encourage them. And there's many ways, but one way certainly is the importance of our words. How do you feel about the person that cut you off in traffic? The reason I said what I did to my wife and I'm working on this, because just yesterday, I'm driving down the road. I'm in the wrong lane. I need to get over. I'm at the light, first car at the light, another car beside me. So I take off, and I'm just going to see if he's just going to drive normal or is he going to speed up, because I just want to get up far enough to cut in front of him. Well, he's just going normal, so I said, okay. So I speed up, so what does he do? Speeds up. So I go a little faster, what does he do? Now I can't get over. Now I got to wait and get behind him if I can, because everybody else is driving normal. So I'm just like, no, I never said anything bad. I never had any bad words. I'm just saying, guys like that just really bug me. I hate it when they do stuff like that. That's about how I said it, too. I didn't go, that guy really bothers me. No, I was like, and Debbie says, I don't know why stuff like that upsets you so much. I said, well, of course you don't. I said, but you all know what I'm talking about because we've all been there, haven't we? Maybe not that scenario, but there's something that gets a little rise out of us, right? That person that cuts you off, that customer that is irate, that gets right in your face, the parent acting like a fool at the Little League baseball game. Oh, I'm telling you what, I coached and the kids were great. It's you parents. Sometimes you just have to love them like Jesus, is all I can tell you. But the parent, once again, that person posting things you don't agree with on Facebook, somebody that disagrees with you politically, and you get so upset, and you get so angry, then you start saying things. Folks, that's the thing. And let me tell you, who is it that gets a rise out of you? You think it's not our enemy? You think Satan doesn't use that just every chance he can to get a little rise out of you because he knows that he can do it? Because something's still in there that he can light up a little bit and to get us upset. Once again, folks, all these people, all these situations, they are made in the image of God, these people are. They're loved by God just like us. Look at verse 11 and 12. Can both fresh water, salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? A grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Folks, if you grab one thing here today, understand this. Our words reveals our hearts. In fact, Luke chapter 6 and verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Boy, guys, you know, as I put this message together, I'm saying, Lord, this is New Year's Eve. Couldn't I put something more like a New Year's Eve? But you know what? I believe that this was the word that God had for you and me here today. There's a reason God is challenging us to guard our words. There's a reason that God wants our heart to be revealed in the right way. When we talk about the tongue, once again, we're really talking about the heart. Outward words, they reveal an inward reality. Who we are is what we say. What we say. How many of you, don't answer this once again, don't raise your hand, but do you ever put yourself down? Do you ever say, geez, what a dummy? Have you ever said something like, Keith Stevens, you are an... Okay, I don't even want to say it. Debbie hits me every time I say it. But every once in a while, I feel like it. I feel like I just... What is that? I get so frustrated. But I'm saying words and pronouncing things upon myself? What is the matter with me? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know this. God loves me, and God wants me to get it right. And God loves you, and he wants you to get it right because you're special in his sight. There's something special, God. You are God's creation, and we are God's creation. And once again, let me say it, our outward words, right? They reveal an inward reality. Who we are is what we say. Say, speak good things in your heart. Speak good things in your life and watch and see if good things don't begin to happen more regularly. It's a God thing. We never truly speak out of character. We only reveal our true character. That's what it is. Our words show our cards, folks. We might not say all we really think, but what we say, we really think. And you may say, well, I didn't mean that. Once again, folks, yes, you did. No, I don't want to mean that. No, we may not want to, but we got to be careful. We can never truly say, I didn't mean it. Folks, let me ask a couple questions here. What do your words, and only you can answer this. Your partner may think they can, but really only you can answer this question. What do your words reveal about you? What came out of your mouth the last time you got angry? The last time you were frustrated? The last time you experienced pain. So how do we change? How do we control our tongue? Change your heart. Change your words. Come on, preacher, it can't be that simple. Who said it was simple? Change your heart. Change your words. King David, remember him, the guy who killed a giant as a young teenager? This was his prayer to God. David asked God, he said, God, change my heart. David submitted his heart to God. David did his best to obey God. Change my heart, oh God, he said, make it ever true. David messed up royally. You all know the story a few times. But did God still bless him? Yes, he did. When he asked forgiveness, God forgave him. God blessed him. Ask God to change your heart. Ask him to change your heart. Psalms 51:10 just says, create in me a pure work, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. God, when's the last time you asked God to guard your heart? When's the last time you really spent some time with the importance of getting your heart right? Because if you get your heart right, everything else tunes up. Everything else comes in line. Ask God to change your heart. David walked with humility before God. He repented when he needed to. But he kept moving forward. No matter how far he fell back, he kept moving forward. Ask God to change your heart because his Holy Spirit is already in your life as a believer. So we activate his power only, I believe, as we obey him, as we honor his commandments. God tells us in his word to guard our hearts because he knows what will happen. Our actions begin to change, and so will our hearts. Matthew 6:19 says this, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is," say it with me, "there will your heart be also." I want you to know something. Jesus, how he uses his words here. He does not say, "For where your heart is, there will your treasure be." Of course, that is true. But Jesus emphasizes the opposite. For where your treasure is, where you invest your time, your energy, your actions, there will your heart be also. Folks, his point is simple. Our actions form our hearts like soft clay in the hand of a potter. I coached a little guy, when my guys were little, I coached a basketball team. We went to a park. Some guys was playing basketball, some kids. And I just went up and said, "Guys, this is the only rim available." I said, "When you guys are done with this game, would you mind if me and my little guys just took the next, like, game time, the next 20 minutes or so, and practice because we got a tournament?" And all the boys said, "Oh, sure." And I said, "In fact, you guys, if you want to, you can even help me." "Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, that'd be great." But one kid said, "You can't run us off this court." I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." I said, "I'm not going to run you off. I'm asking if you guys would mind." And one of them guys said, "Oh, shut up, so-and-so. Sir, you go ahead and use this court." About halfway through the practice, here come a car. Made the turn up here in front of the park. Flew down that road, turned into the parking area way too fast. And in Florida, it's just sand and shells, right? Throwing sand everywhere. He gets out of his car. He walks up. This man is upset. He comes to me. He gets spitting and sputtering, red in the face, right in my face, and says, "You can't run these kids off this park. This is a private park or a public place, and you have no right." And all I said was, "Sir, that's not what happened." Just like that. "Saw it, sir, that's not what happened." You'd have thought I slapped the guy. I mean, he was just like, he just went, "What?" I said, "No, sir, I asked the boys if we could practice. Even asked them if they'd like to help us." And one of the other boys was still there, and he goes, "Yeah, Mr. Smith, he asked us, and we all said okay, except for Billy there." The guy turned around like this, and he said, "Get in the car." I wouldn't want to be that boy going home, folks. I wouldn't want to be him. But let me tell you what happened. A couple weeks later, I'm in a store, and he walks up. He goes, "Hey, coach." Same guy, right? "How you doing, coach?" He goes, "Hey, how'd your little team do?" And I'm thinking, who is this guy? I really, at the moment, it just didn't, and then it dawned on me. Oh, hey. I said, "You know what? We won a couple, but we didn't win the tournament." He goes, "Well, hey, man, I'm glad you guys did well. Good to see you, coach. Have a great one." And that's when it hit me. How important was my words that day? If I'd have, I can't say that inside I wasn't screaming, or at least going, "Who is it here?" Okay. But outside, I said the right words. And I'm going to take credit for that? I'll give Holy Spirit all the credit in the world. God gave me the ability that day just to say the right thing. And I could, if I'd have hollered and rant and raved and screamed with him, I'd have had an enemy the rest of my life. But instead, look what the truth of God's word. He says, a soft word turns away wrath. Have you ever noticed that if one person's ranting and raving, he can't do it very long by himself? He's got to have somebody ranting and raving back for him to keep ranting and raving. He just can't seem to keep going. So once again, the importance of our words. And what does our words reveal? Our heart. Our heart, our actions form our hearts, and the soft clay is in that hand of the potter of Jesus. Evil actions deform and twist our hearts in the opposite way. Change your heart, change your words. How many of you all remember that old Nike saying, just do it? Remember? Just do it. As we act in the will of God, it's like that pedal assist on an electric bike. My boy Shane got an electric bike. I was down in Florida a few weeks ago, and I hopped on that thing, and you kind of take off, you start pedaling a little bit, and all of a sudden the motor kicks in. And I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. And you just ride it around. If you want to pedal, pedal. If you don't want to pedal, and who wants to pedal if you don't have to pedal? It was great, man. We just floated on down the road, and we pedal. And once again, it's like that with the Lord in a way. It's like if we do the right thing, if we pedal, God's power kicks in. If we say the right thing, it becomes faith in action. But once again, do I have to pedal for the bike to work? When I start pedaling, yes, the power kicks in. And as we begin moving in the direction of Jesus, Holy Spirit's power works with us to make us more like Jesus. I appreciate so much what your pastor said this morning. So much about what the future, that we're going forward. We are going to make a difference. And I even like the way he said it, like no other. Yes, we're going to do what God wants us to do. It's what God has designed for us. And I believe that God has reveals to the pastors and leaders the vision for tomorrow. It's why, once again, God places pastors. Not just to remind you of your walk with God, but to encourage you to know that God is in this place and that God wants to do these things. But once again, you got to start pedaling before it happens. You can't just say, okay, God, we're ready to go. And just stand back and let God. It doesn't work that way. You got to be about the Father's business. Got to be about the Father's business. And let me say it once again about our words. It reveals our hearts. So we apply this today by doing this. Change your heart. Change your words. And I want you to think before you speak. I want you to think about this. And I want to take the word think, if you would. If you're taking notes, just write T-H-I-N-K down a little bit. I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you to think before you speak. Let me ask everybody one more time. How many of you have ever spoke before you thought? Yep. What do we say? Open foot, open mouth, insert foot. We've all been there, haven't we? We got to guard against that. The enemy uses that against us. It's one of our weaknesses. So once again, change your heart, change your words, and think before you speak. And look at the T and think, if you would. Just be true. Just true. And then H would be helpful. Look at the H for a moment. Helpful. Just look at the I. Inspiring. Look at the N. Necessary. Look at the K. Kind. True. Is what we are about to say true? How many of you in this room have never lied? We got a room full of liars. What? We've all lied, haven't we? Why? Did we think it through first? Maybe some of you thought up some really good lies, but that's not what I'm talking about. We need to think. Think. We've all spoken. We've all done things. Sometimes we don't know. Maybe we don't know if it's true. Have you ever spoke something just because somebody said it to you? You know what that's called, right? It's called gossip. And by the way, that is a sin. It's in the book. Gossip is a sin. But once again, is it true? How about the H? Is it helpful? It may be true, but is it helpful? Will this information help someone? Is what I'm about to say going to help this person or tear them down even more? Or is it just idle talk and means nothing? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is what I'm about to say going to encourage someone? Is it going to inspire them to do more? Can I speak something where maybe you know a situation where a child never gets encouragement from his parents, never a word of inspiration? Why don't you be that word? Why don't you speak that word into that child's life or into that friend's life or whatever it may be? You have the power in your words to inspire someone. Ask yourself this, the N in the word think. Is it necessary? Do I need to say this? I've asked myself before, did I really need to share that? I wish I'd asked myself that question before I spoke. Because I've said things before and I thought, I didn't need to say that. You need to guard your words. Is it necessary? And many times we may be tempted to say too much. We say too much. The more we talk, the more we get in trouble. We say too much. Is what I'm about to say necessary? And the last thought was, is it kind? Words can damage people very deeply. What if we made kindness part of our filter? What if we made that kindness? Think before you speak. Is what I'm about to say, is it kind? Folks, the other day I was in a very hard conversation with a mature believer. And as they were responding, they spoke very slowly, very carefully. I could tell they were weighing out each word they spoke. And I thought to myself, wow, that's a mark of true spiritual maturity right there. This person didn't want to say too much. It was a situation involving a loved one, and they were very careful how they worded it and wanted me to pray about. But they spoke only what was necessary. How different would our words be if we use this little acronym as a filter to think, is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Is what I'm about to say, is it these things? You need to write something like that down and even put it on your refrigerator, someplace to remind you all the time. I pray that throughout 2025, every time something comes up that you should not speak on, that Holy Spirit will bring a thought to you, think before you speak. Stop and make sure what you're about to say is going to be directed of Him. And I'm even in everyday conversation, you can say things. And I'm not saying you got to be Mr. Spiritual and Lady Spiritual all the time. You speak and talk. But folks, you know where I'm coming from. Let's guard our words. Let's be men and women of integrity in our words. Our words reveal our hearts. So what do your words reveal about your heart? Ask God for a change of heart, because your actions can change your heart. Think before you speak. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Dear Heavenly Father, such a simple message. Oh God, the truth of this message is phenomenal. The truth of this message is actually the power of your word. God, your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. You have told us the importance of your word. You told us how difficult it is to control our words. But God, Holy Spirit is here to direct us, to give us victory over this tongue and over the words we share and over the heart that we have. God, show us, lead us in cleansing our heart completely. Show us how to cleanse it out, God, that what comes out, Lord, is going to be glorifying to you. That when we speak, it's going to be uplifting, it's going to be encouraging, even when we're disciplining. Even when there's things that need to be said that are difficult, God, if we say them in the right spirit, choose our word wisely, you will anoint them, you will bless them, and lives will be changed, including our own. Walk with us through this next year, God, and Lord, help us to be all you created us to be. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Pastor Keith, thank you. You know, I love the way the Holy Spirit works. I had no idea what Pastor Keith was going to speak on today. And this morning I used the word impact. For 2025, this church, we're moving into the year of impact. And you cannot make an impact in anybody's life if you don't think before you speak. Because you may speak something that is not ready for that time. If we want to make impact into somebody's life, we've got to think before we speak. You agree, church? Pastor Keith, that was just awesome. Thank you so much. And right inside of our thank you, let's give Pastor Keith a praise off you. Thank you, Pastor Keith. I just love the story of sitting at the light, right? I love the story of sitting at the light, because I use those stories all the time. I love the, you know, we're at the light, right? And you start to go down, the light turns green, and Pastor Keith is, she's trying to get in the lane, you know, and here comes this other pastor right beside him, and he's waving, trying to get his attention, and he keeps speeding up. So I keep speeding up, and he keeps, and he couldn't get in the lane, because he wasn't looking at the wave. No, that wasn't me, folks. I'm just teasing. Church, stand with me, please. I believe we have a brighter 2025 than 2024. And if we do exactly what Pastor Keith said, to think before we speak, it'll make it a lot easier. Father, Lord, bless us today as we depart. Lord God, bless this church, these fine people. Give us an impact in 2025. Lord, let love be awakened in our heart today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, let love awaken your heart. And let's go out singing that very song. God bless you.